Welcome to the Read Together Initiative for 2020. I'm Mickey Starling. I'm a member of the First United Methodist Church in Anniston, Alabama, and I will be bringing you our podcast today. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Matthew, specifically one of the most famous of all the scriptures, the Sermon on the Mount. The background material for our podcast are chapters 5 through 7. But today I want us to concentrate on a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which I believe is the core of our Christian life. That's the Beatitudes. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verses. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you, because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All of us from time to time need a roadmap. For many years, my job in the United States Army Reserves was to go to various units throughout the states of Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi and provide wills and powers of attorney and legal instruction to various units. A lot of times I did not know where the town that the unit was located, and so I had to pull out a good road map and find it. You know, today we'd probably use GPS or MapQuest, but the key thing is we all need a guide from time to time to find out where we're going and to, in fact, locate where we should be. In a way, that's what Jesus was doing with the Sermon on the Mount. He was explaining to his disciples what they needed to be, how they needed to, in fact, conduct their lives, not only so that they could be better disciples, but so that they could indeed inherit the kingdom of heaven. When we look at the Beatitudes, we are struck by the fact that almost all of the language here begins with the term blessed. All of us have used that term from time to time, either with bless your heart or that was a blessing. And often when we think of blessing or blessed, we think of happiness. The great Methodist minister Charles L. Allen, in his little book, The Beatitudes and Interpretation, however, encourages us to think of blessed as more than mere happiness. He points out astutely that very often the richest person may not be the most blessed, and sometimes the poorest person can have blessings beyond measure. When we're talking about blessings, he says that Jesus is pointing out that to be blessed, you don't become blessed by possessing something or doing something, but by being something. And I think the Beatitudes really sum that up. In fact, I think one of the best way to think about the Beatitudes is they are Beatitudes. The attitudes that we should possess. Truly being blessed comes from certain qualities of the Christian life. And Jesus shared 8 of those qualities with his disciples. To put those things in practice in daily life is true happiness. So let's look at each one of these Beatitudes, starting with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Often we think of poor in economic terms, and that's a proper way to look at it. But the truth is that poverty can take many forms. I've already mentioned the fact that sometimes the richest people can be the poorest, and those who in fact seem to have nothing actually have more. Jesus is speaking in terms of that part of our being, our spiritual being, where we in fact recognize that we are nothing without God, that everything that we can be depends on God in our lives. It's very similar to the story that Luke presents in chapter 18, starting at verse 10, about the 2 men who go to the synagogue to pray. One of them is a man who is quite righteous, has followed the laws, and he is very proud of what he has done. And his prayer reflects that. The other man is a sinner. He recognizes that he needs God, that he's fallen short. And what does he say? "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It's that realization, the realization that the starting point for the Christian life is to recognize that our spirits are poor and that we need God in our lives to receive the blessing of the kingdom of heaven. The second beatitude is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Now, obviously, no one enjoys mourning. Mourning is associated with grief from loss, tragedy, catastrophe. It is one of the saddest experiences we have as humans. However, here we're talking about spiritual sadness. It is sorrow over our moral and spiritual shortcomings. And in order to be blessed, we have to acknowledge those shortcomings. And we have to, in fact, recognize that we need to seek God so that we can be comforted. The key thing is that the starting point for a Christian has to be a contrite heart, to recognize that we have not lived in a way that, in fact, God wants us to live. All of us recognize that we have not done what we need to do. And so, by mourning our sins and our imperfections, our failures, to be God's children, we then can be assured that we will be comforted. When we feel miserable because of our sin, God offers both forgiveness and comfort to our contrite hearts. Our third beatitude is similar to the first two. It is, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Modern society doesn't consider meekness a virtue. Instead, we prize those who stand up, speak out, in fact, the louder the better. Meekness is often thought of as giving up, being unduly submissive. However, if we look at the word meek as it is used in the Old Testament, in the 11th verse of the 37th Psalm, we see a word which really translates as molded, much like the fact that we are clay to be molded by God. Jesus took this same approach from the Psalms to make it one of the tenets of the good news. New Testament writers also used a Greek word, praos, as meek. And this word means to be controlled. I'd like to think of it as submission to the will of God, to be willing to do what God wants us to do. That removes all dread and fear, and in that way we do inherit the earth. To be meek is to submit, not to human domination, but to God's gentle yoke, as Jesus put it. We need control, self and otherwise, to be molded in God's image. Our next beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst are two of the most basic desires of human beings. Along with air to breathe, we need food and water to survive. Jesus is reminding his disciples that that is the same attitude they need to have toward seeking God in their lives. As Charles Allen put it, we never find God until he is our deepest desire. And if we in fact do hunger and thirst for God in that way, then we will be satisfied. We will be filled. We will be filled with the blessing of God, and through it, we will be able to bless others. Our next beatitude is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is a concept that all of us want. I'm reminded as an attorney that very often my clients spoke of justice. What they really wanted in a case was mercy. Mercy, however, requires in the Christian life reciprocity. In order to get mercy, we have to give mercy. Jesus says that later in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, if you are unwilling to forgive others, then your heavenly Father will have great difficulty forgiving you. And it's illustrated best by a story that Jesus told about the unforgiving servant. The unforgiving servant, if you will, had a large debt that he owed the king. He pled and the king gave him relief. He forgave the indebtedness. But then when another servant came to our unforgiving servant and asked for the same relief for a small indebtedness, the unforgiving servant had him cast into prison. When the king found out about it, that servant received his just deserts, and he was cast into prison. And we're reminded that God expects us to forgive others as he forgives us. The same with mercy. If we will show mercy, then we will receive mercy. And this is such a radical concept because it breaks the cycle of revenge, retribution, anger, hatred that in fact exists in the world. We as Christians are to practice mercy in the way that we deal with each other. And the blessing we receive is that God will be merciful to us. The next beatitude is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart seems to be an awfully difficult thing to accomplish. All of us have difficulty with this one. But it's helpful to look at the Greek word for pure. It can mean clean, as in clean clothes after they're washed. But it also can mean unadulterated or unmixed, as in gold that has no alloy in it, which is pure gold. And in that regard, what Jesus is challenging his disciples to do is to have pure motives, to not do things so that they will be thought of well by other people. Don't go to church out of obligation. Don't pray to make a spectacle of yourself. But do these things because you want to have a closer relationship with God. And by doing these things with unmixed motives, in an unadulterated heart, you will in fact see God. You will have a chance to meet Him face to face. Our seventh blessing is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We all want peace for ourselves, others, our community, and the world. In a world filled with conflict and strife, peace is a valuable commodity. However, peace is not just the absence of war or controversy. It is a state where there is tranquility in life and in mind. It is significant that when the angels announced the birth of our Savior, they announced glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Jesus came to bring peace to mankind. At a time when basically Rome controlled the world, there was still oppression and enslavement. When Christ bid farewell to his disciples, he said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." In his book, Peace of Mind, Rabbi Joshua Liebman points out that of all the things that man wants, peace of mind is one of the most important. It is obvious that we, with peace in our hearts, can do much to bring peace to the world. Our final beatitude is, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus, in this beatitude, reminds us that there is a cost to discipleship. Jesus reminded his followers that living the way that he had explained would result in disapproval, ostracism, and even possibly persecution. However, as Charles Allen points out, no one ever lives until he finds something worth dying for. Early Christians realized that this message was too important not to risk their lives for. Can we do less? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, help us to make the Sermon on the Mount the roadmap for our lives. Help us to make the Beatitudes the core values in our daily living. Thank you for your words, your grace, and your Son. In Christ's name, amen.